This is Dominic Jimenez with a Sail Sport Talk feature on the Delta Yacht Club, which was founded in 1941. The Delta Yacht Club is a family-oriented club that is the destination point for members with powerboats. Every Memorial Day, the club has a big party bash for the Memorial Day weekend. Included is a tribute at 4 p.m. on Saturday when everyone gathers to pay honor to our veterans with a story of bravery researched by member Lincoln Mitchell. Lincoln spent many years researching the stories of our brave men and women who have served America, and while he was alive, he shared two of these stories each year with the other club members and guests on Memorial Day. Now his daughter, Rebecca Mitchell Barge, continues this tradition and this year gave honor to two patriots, Lieutenant Fox of the 92nd Infantry Division, an artilleryman and forward observer, and Coast Guard Petty Officer Douglas Monroe of the 7th Marine Regiment, both of whom received a Congressional Medal of Honor posthumously. Here is Monroe's story. On September 27, 1942, three companies of the 7th Marine Regiment landed near the Matanikau River, and before the Marines were a quarter mile inland, they were surrounded, cut off from the beach, and their commander dead. They signaled for help, fought their way back to the beach, and established a tight defensive perimeter. Petty Officer Monroe was in charge of five Higgins boats, which were 36-foot mahogany landing crafts. He was ordered to recover the almost 500 Marines on the beach. As he got closer to the shore, he signaled the other boats to land and turned his broadside as a shield between the Marines and the firing guns. He opened fire with his two small boat guns to attract attention, but he eventually took a machine gun bullet in the head. His dying words were only for the Marines. Did they get off the beach? Monroe was returned to his hometown of Klee Elum, Washington for burial. The U.S. flag flew over his grave, but was not lighted. So his childhood friend and fellow veteran, Mike Cooley, took it upon himself to walk the few miles from his home to the cemetery to raise and lower the flag at dawn and dusk every day, and did so for more than 30 years. Upon Cooley's death, two Coast Guard petty officers spearheaded a campaign to erect a flagpole with lighting so that the U.S. flag continues to fly over Monroe's grave 24 hours per day. With the members of the Delta Yacht Club, let us recognize, with much appreciation and respect, the women and men, past and present, who serve and have served our country.
It doesn't really matter. I don't like my job, and I don't think I'm gonna go anymore.
Tittle thinks there's a direct correlation between dogs and lightning.
All right, thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It is Tuesday at 9:40, and that means it's time for Sail Sport Talk. Karen Lyle, as always, is with us. Karen, how are you?
I'm doing great.
That is good to hear. And in studio as well, as you can see on Twitch.tv and the Twitch app, we have John Arndt, who is the owner of Latitude 38 Sailing Magazine. He's also a board member of Sail America and chairman of the Pacific Sail Expo, Strictly Sail Pacific Show. And also, Monica Grant is with us, an event manager for Summer Sailstice in studio. Let's just start with you. Sailstice. I like your little combo. What is that?
Well, basically, it's sailing on the weekend closest to the summer solstice, in the northern hemisphere's summer solstice. And the idea is we just want everybody to get out and experience sailing and realize what an awesome sport it is and that it is accessible to everyone.
Mm-hmm. And from where do you hail with your accent?
Australia,
that's what I thought.
Where it's the winter solstice on our summer sails.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, John, tell us a little more for the people who don't know about Latitude 38, but it's a big deal in your area, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we think so, you know.
But it is, definitely. Everybody knows Latitude 38.
It was founded in 1977, and it's a West Coast regional sailing publication and been covering the world of sailing, as we say, through the eyes of the West Coast sailor. So we cover the Bay Area sailing, California sailing, but also cruising around the world, but from the eyes of people who've left the Bay and gone wherever they are in the world for their adventures.
And I have to say that I bought one of my boats through your magazine.
I'm glad to hear it, yes.
It was one of my very first ones. It was a Cal 225, I think it was.
Perfect starter boat.
It was a great boat. It was just the right size.
Yeah, they're a great little boat. We've got a whole classified section. There's lots of boats that get exchanged through the pages of Latitude 38.
How did you get your start in the sailing world?
You know, I was one of those lucky guys that had parents who sailed, and I grew up on the East Coast, and we would sail little boats in the summer in Maine. And I kind of could never leave it behind. So I got started as a kid and just have never stopped.
It's funny, that whole New England area, it's so maritime, you know, Newport, Rhode Island, and you got the Cape and Martha's Vineyard and Maine. It's just in your blood, huh?
Yeah. No, it's definitely, if you're fortunate to have parents that take you down there, and actually my father grew up sailing as well, and it's one of those culture things. And it's amazing for me to discover how many people like Karen or Monica here who learned later in life. You know, to me, I was born into it, but so many people actually grab onto it later. And it's kind of a different experience that way, but it's certainly not the one I had. I got it right from the birth.
And Monica, you sailed over here from Australia or no?
No, not quite. I may one day sail back over a long period of time, but no, I did a little bit of sailing in Australia, but most of my sailing has been here on the East Coast.
Oh, so. What brought you out here to the lovely Bay Area?
My husband.
Okay.
His family are from California, and he is the sailor, and he really was my introduction to sailing. Prior to that, it was always a romantic notion of something that I would like to do one
sure.
day.
Now, summer solstice is something that is for the whole world.
Absolutely.
And not just for racers.
No, and that's
the
whole point.
Tell us about who should be interested and involved in summer solstice.
Well, I think, you know, one thing I'd like to say, too, since we're on sports talk radio, is that a lot of sailing is not a sport. A lot of sailing is a lifestyle, pastime, recreational activity. And unlike baseball or tennis or other things you probably talk about here, sailing is something you don't necessarily play inside the lines or play for goals and points.
Well, it's not a competitive sport. It's a leisurely sport, right?
Well, for most people, that's true. And like skiing, I mean, there's a few ski racers, but there's a lot of people who just ski. And sailing is the same. There are definitely very competitive Olympic sailors and round-the-world racers. But most of sailing is an afternoon pastime or a cruise up the California Delta, and it's a very leisurely recreational activity or an adventure. You know, you're exploring the world with sailing. And summer solstice is really meant as a way for the sailing world to put the rest of sailing on display. I think a lot of the world discovers sailing because they hear some terrible tragedy, which is always a nightmare, or they see a billionaire like Larry Ellison with SailGP, and they think sailing's not for them. But we like to bring attention to Lake Merritt in Oakland or Shoreline in Mountain View and all these places that people sail on small boats. And summer solstice is meant to be a holiday that everybody can participate in, generate awareness and participation and activity in sailing.
Rick Tittle and Karen Lyle with you. Sail Sport Talk on Sports Byline and American Forces Radio around the world. John Arndt and Monica Grant are in studio. And Monica, I think it's interesting that you sort of married into the sport, but now you're an aficionado and you're running the sales disc. How did you rise up?
Honestly, I've tried to run away from it. It just hasn't worked. But I think, you know, I was just thinking as John was talking about summer sales disc, that had summer sales disc been in my awareness prior to meeting my sailor husband, I probably would have found sailing a lot sooner. Because to me, it was always one of those sports that was inaccessible or unattainable for me. And yes, I could have gone to a yacht club, but then I'd be standing there going, well, now what do I do? These people all have boats. They know what they're doing. Whereas with summer solstice, through the website and through the community that we've built, people can see that anybody can sail because a lot of the events are open houses. They invite people to come. They invite you to sail, have an experience with an experienced skipper, different sized boats. It's pretty much any type of sailing that anybody would like to try. It's just a matter of looking it up and finding where it is.
Is the sort of that elitist stigma? Is that something you're trying to shed?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because sailing really is for everyone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think that's one of the things, you know, most people think, obviously, they see big boats, but what they don't realize is on that big boat, there's one owner and usually 10 crew, and the 10 crew are sailing for free. There's only the owner is paying for the boat, and so actually, the vast majority of sailors sail for free, and there's also, of course, small boats that are, you know, as inexpensive as bicycles in many ways, or you can rent boats and things like that. You know, you don't have to own a swimming pool to go swimming. You don't have to own a sailboat to go sailing.
Well, speaking of that, too, you've been doing this for 19 years now, the Summer Sails Disc. Can you think of one story that that you would like to tell us about someone who got enthused about sailing because of Summer Sails Disc?
Me?
Go for it. I mean, actually, I don't know if I can land an individual person, although what we do see is so many of these community sailing centers, you know, Hampton, Virginia, you know, Florida, Alaska, Montana. I mean, these small clubs, which are the ones that for me, being a coastal Maine California sailor, what's really always been inspired is the geography that shows up. These little clubs in northern Montana or in North Dakota, they have an open house. They invite community sailing, open house for their community sailing. And so many people send us stories and pictures. I can't pull out an individual's name. But
there is one, Keyport Yacht Club in New Jersey. Hmm. Now, they've been sailing on Summer Sails Disc for a number of years. I mean, I've only been doing it 5 years, and they've certainly in the last 2 or 3 years come to my attention. They, on one occasion, I was saying earlier to Karen that the mayor of the town named the day Keyport Yacht Club Day because they were just doing so much promotion for sailing and for their event. Mm-hmm. The upshot of that event was that they had 64 people who had not sailed before, who had come to the event, and 14 of those had signed up to join the club and learn to sail. I mean,
it's a great story.
Great promotion for sailing, great for the club. And think of these 14 people, they've discovered something that they otherwise would not have even thought about.
Can you encapsulate, John, the difference between sailing off the coast of Maine and sailing off the coast of California, the personality of these two distinctly different oceans?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, the Pacific is not very Pacific. It's often very rough out there. And Maine in the summer, of course, Maine is a 2 month, 3 month sailing season. So, the sailing culture is much deeper, richer back there. And the Atlantic coast is generally a lot richer sailing history and a lot more islands to explore. The West Coast is much more severe coast and much steeper, not as many harbors, so not as many places to explore. Mm-hmm. But the winds and the beauty of sailing, particularly San Francisco Bay, getting on the bay is just incredible every day.
Do you ever have any, like I think especially in Maine, do you ever have any like friction between like people who are out there commercial fishing for lobster and then you're on your pleasure boat and maybe you're spooking their catch or whatever? Or is the ocean big enough for everybody?
I think the ocean's big enough for everybody, and I think people who are out on the ocean, there's a real camaraderie that forms. I mean, people, when you're in, especially Maine, but even here, mm-hmm. when you sail by a lobster boat or another sailboat, it's just such a traditional
thing.
Do
the air horn.
Well, and also you slow down.
If
you're a powerboat, you're going to slow down and not make wakes for the fishermen. Mm-hmm. You're going to ask how big it is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And how they've been doing, you know, exchange a few words. I mean, it's really friendly out there.
Yeah, I think there's a real camaraderie and collegiality that forms in Maine and between commercial fishermen. Because also, I mean, there are times when a commercial fisherman, I've been rescued by a lobsterman when I flipped my Hobie Cat.
Wow.
Couldn't get to the beach. I mean, so they come to help you, you help them. And you know, these kinds of circumstances arise. And so you're taking care of each other out there, too.
Boaters. Absolutely. I think everybody in the sailing world particularly realizes that it can be difficult when you're out there on your own. And I find personally that the friendships that I've made through sailing just in the last 5 years here in the States are solid and deep.
I remember I was at the Vendée Classic race around the world solo. And this was about 18 years ago on this show now. Hard to believe it was that long ago. But I used to check in via satellite phone with Bruce Schwab, who's a local sailor.
Yeah, and he lives in Maine now.
He does. Wow. But I would check in once a week, and he would tell me a story. And then I saw that Robert Redford movie, That All Is Lost, which I know had some things that bugged sailors. But I just think about, as you say, Monica, being out there on your own, it can be quite perilous.
Well, I have been out there in what I thought were difficult situations. And according to my husband, they were really nothing to worry about. But, you know, and through
it
some...
It may not feel that, that way
It
when
didn't
you're
feel
in.
Like that at the time.
That's
no.
right.
But it was so inspiring to come back to shore and realize that I'd been through that, through the challenges. And even though we don't encourage everyone via summer sails just to go offshore on their first experience of sailing, just experiencing sailing for the first time in any form that you're comfortable with is in itself inspiring.
And it goes back millennia, too, when you think about just a sail and the wind.
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's one of the other aspects of it is, you know, you do sail all day in the bay and you're not using any fossil fuels. I mean, you're out there with, we see whales in the bay all the time in nature.
Dolphins.
And you're powered all day long by the wind. And it's just a beautiful way to sort of engage with the earth and the environment.
One last question.
So how about Africa and Zanzibar? Have you had anyone from them participating in summer sails this yet?
I don't think we have from Zanzibar, but we have had people in all oceans. I mean, there's people, if you go to summersailstice.com and look at the
map.
I'm
going to introduce you to a couple of sailors I know there, and maybe they can participate in this
year.
That
would be nice.
Yeah. No, you'll see Croatia all over the world. I mean, it's fun that way.
Very cool. We've been speaking with John Arndt, owner of Latitude 38 Sail Magazine, board member of Sail America and chairman of the Pacific Sail Expo, Strictly Sail Pacific Show, and Monica Grant, event manager for Summer Sailstice. And as you just heard John say, check it out at summersailstice.com for more information. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
great
you.
Stuff. And hopefully we'll catch up down the road.
Look forward to
Sounds
it.
Sounds great.
Thank
Karen,
you.
As always, thanks
and
for another
we'll
edition.
See you at 9:25 next time because we're having a little bit longer show.
All right. We'll look forward to that next week. Thanks a lot. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll come on back on Sports Byline.
Get my love.